As we start our time together, we're going to need God's help. So won't you please bow with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us with an everlasting love. A love that started so long ago before you even created the world. Thank you for your love. Father, thank you that through your love, you have brought each one of us here this morning for your purposes. And we pray, Father, that you will accomplish your purposes in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives today. By your Holy Spirit, please be with us. Help us to understand your word. Help us to understand who you are. We need your help, Lord. I need your help as I speak. And we all need your help as we all listen. And so we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm very excited for the 28th of December. Ilil, I'm sure you're more excited than I am, as I'm sure Chilambu is. There's a wedding that's going to be happening on the 28th of December. On that particular day, there are going to be some vows which are going to be made before congregation of people gathered there, before the minister officiating that wedding before God. Vows will be made. Afterwards, there will be documents signed. Official contract is going to be made on that day. A contract of marriage, a covenant of marriage is coming up on the 28th of December. But that's not when the relationship between Eliel and Chilambu started. The relationship started before the covenant. The relationship has already been continuing some time this year. I was there at Lebola negotiations. I saw. I know when this relationship started, or at least I have a better idea. You will know best, Eliel, how it started, when it started. But the point is, the relationship started long before the covenant is signed. And this morning I want us to see that truth today. I want us to see, as we go on in our series in the covenant theology, the ABCs of God's eternal love. I want us to see today that God's covenant is not what starts the relationship with us. The covenant secures the relationship. The relationship started long before the covenant. And I want us to see that today. We've been titling this series the ABCs of covenant theology. Assurance of blessing through the covenants and their signs. This morning, I would like to modify that title a little bit as we delve into this sermon today. Assurance of belonging through covenant and its signs. So part of the blessing which we get through the covenants is that we belong. We belong to God, and we have belonged to Him for a very, very long time, longer than you think. Today, we are going to see that we get assurance of belonging through the covenant and its signs. God doesn't start that relationship with us when he makes the covenant. No, He is securing relationship that provides security for you and for me going forward into the future. It's a pre-existing relationship. We read this morning from Hebrews chapter 6. And one of the verses I would like to draw your attention to, your Bibles are still open there, I can see that. Thank you for keeping your Bibles open. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, if you don't have a Bible, the verse is on the projector behind me. When God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath. God wanting to demonstrate. He wants to show something. He wants to show and convince people that his promise is guaranteed. Then he gives an oath. But he wants to show people that it is guaranteed because his promise is founded on a pre-existing relationship, a pre-existing purpose, which he had purposed in his mind before he even created the world. That's where God's purpose and his will began. And now in this verse, we see that God is trying to show more convincingly. He wants to demonstrate. He wants us to be more convinced. Of what? That his purpose is unchangeable. Unchangeable. That's when he gave an oath. He guaranteed the promise. He guaranteed the purpose with an oath. Now we're going to look a little bit more at this because this oath actually is referring to an oath that God made with Abraham. And we read part of that story in the book of Genesis. But what is the basis of this hope? The hope that God gives us. Because this should give us hope. God is assuring us that we belong. I mean, look at Hebrews 6 verse 11. 6 verse 11. I will put that also on the screen for you so you can also see it. We desire that each one of you show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end. We want you to have a full assurance of hope. We want to show you that. We want you to show the same earnestness to have that full assurance of hope. So what is the basis of this hope? Well, this hope is confident. It's not just a hope like maybe it will happen. I really hope. It's kind of like Lena sitting today knowing, I hope my husband will come on Saturday this week from Cape Town, right? She's hoping for it, expecting it, but she knows it will happen because the tickets have been bought. He is coming. He's a confident hope. There is a pre-existing relationship. So what we're actually going to see here today is that the oath that God made with Abraham is in fact an oath that God made with you and for you to give you hope, to show you that God's love for you began long before Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. God's covenant with people is not what starts the relationship. No, it secures a pre-existing relationship. Now, in the past 2 weeks, we've been looking at the covenant of redemption. We've been looking at the covenant of works. And we saw that the covenant of redemption is a covenant that God made with himself before he created the world. It's a covenant that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit made, in which the Son, Jesus Christ, was chosen. He was foreordained, foreknown as the one who would die to redeem those whom the Father has chosen. That's you and me today. He chose us before the creation of the world. This is what we've been looking at. Some of you know that Renee and I are adopting. And this process is a process which has started very early this year. We were matched with a beautiful, handsome boy on the 20th of June. And we have been getting to know that boy every day, visiting him every day in the child care facility where he is. Such a handsome boy, and really, really, we are looking forward to when he can come home. But the point I want to make is we are currently building relationship with him. The relationship has started. But just like Elil and Shalambu, there is still a contract waiting ahead for us in the future. when we are going to go to the courts in Zambia and apply for legal status that this boy is our son. He already is our son in the sense that Zambia has given him to us to adopt, but he's not legally yet. If I had to die now, my son, Caleb, will not inherit any of my belongings because there's no contract in place. But after that day which comes, when the contract is signed in the courts and the courts hand over the paperwork with all signed and say, this is now your son. Now he is legally mine. He's legally my heir. He can inherit from me. He is my responsibility. It provides a security for this boy. Security that this father of mine will never leave me, even though I keep going to visit him every day. I still have to leave him every day in that place because the contract is not yet signed. But the day will come when the contract is signed and it will provide security for a pre-existing relationship. The cross assures us that we belong to God. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago to secure his love for you. But that wasn't actually where God's love started with you. In Luke chapter 22, verse 20, we read about how when Jesus was at the Last Supper with his disciples, just before he went and died on the cross, he said to them, "This is the cup poured out for you. It is the new covenant of my blood." You see, on that night, on that weekend, when Jesus died and rose again, he was cutting a new covenant. He was making a covenant with you. But what I want us to see today is that that wasn't the start of his relationship with you. His relationship started before, earlier. Jesus loved you before you were born. Jesus loved you before he died on the cross. Jesus loved you before he created the world. This is a fascinating truth. And it should encourage us. It should give us hope. It should give us hope. Earlier on, after we confessed our sins with the screen, the prayer on the screen, we again thanked God for his wonderful plan of salvation. And there was a line that we all said together, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. This is what we're talking about. As it was in the beginning, before the beginning, God loved you. God knew you. God chose you. And that's where the relationship starts. The covenant comes later to secure our relationship and also to structure the relationship. And we're going to look a little bit more at that next week, structuring the relationship. Today, I want us to focus on the security of the relationship. And that's why we're looking at the assurance of belonging in covenants and their signs, ABCs. Next week, we'll look at assurance of becoming through covenants and their signs. That's where we become who we are, become what we've been secured to be. The most popular verse in the Bible, John 3, verse 16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." You see, God's love preceded him giving his son. I think I've made that point very clear this morning. The cross assures us that we belonged to God before he created the world. And we're going to be looking specifically at the story of Abraham today, and we're going to learn from Abraham, actually how in the history of God creating covenants with mankind, we actually see this principle at work as it's unfolding throughout the covenant of grace. So last week we saw that it was because Adam and Eve broke a covenant that death entered the world. The covenant they broke was what we saw as the covenant of works. Death entered the world, we were all born in sin. And the relationship that God had with mankind after he created the world had been shattered, broke, because they broke the covenant. But we also saw that immediately afterwards, God announced the covenant of grace. A covenant of grace. After they broke his covenant, he announced the covenant of grace. That's a covenant, actually, which was pointing to Christ. Christ would fulfill what Adam broke. Christ is the fulfillment of the covenant of grace. But the announcement of the covenant comes to Adam after he had sinned. After Adam sinned, God said, "I will send the serpent crusher." The serpent crusher. That was a promise God made. One of your seed is going to come, and he is going to be the one who's going to crush the head of the serpent and destroy his work. We looked at that last week. If you missed it, please look online. You'll find it is there on our website. You can listen to it. But he promised the serpent crusher would come. And we saw that Jesus actually is the fulfillment. He is that seed who comes to crush the head of the serpent. And this is what announces the covenant of grace. And this is what we're focusing on today, the covenant of grace. And the main point that I want us to see is that when God makes a covenant with us, that covenant is not what establishes the relationship. Rather, it secures the relationship. So we see this truth working out progressively in each of the successive covenants that God makes with his people through various times in history, as the covenant of grace is working out historically. There is one covenant. I want us to be clear on this. There is one covenant. You might be thinking, but aren't there a couple of covenants that God makes in history? There's a covenant with Noah. There's a covenant with Abraham. There's a covenant with Israel, covenant with David. There's so many covenants. Even in Jeremiah, we read about a new covenant. Where do all these covenants we read about in the Old Testament fit into? You said one covenant. I want us to see today that each of those covenants that God made with various generations throughout history is the same covenant. It's just being repeated in a different way to a new generation. It's not a new covenant. He started with the promise made to Adam, "I will send the serpent crusher." Then to Noah, he said, "I will never destroy the earth again. Provide a safe space for the covenant of grace to work out." Then a covenant with Abraham. It's the same covenant. "I will give to you a seed through whom all the nations will be blessed." And so each covenant actually is part of the one covenant of grace. It's through this covenant of grace that God secures relationship. He secures the relationship. This morning I want us to see that God secures relationship through his covenant. And I want us to look through those different covenants, and I want us to see it in Noah, for example. In Genesis 9, we read the covenant that God made with Noah and all of Noah's descendants after the flood. This is after the flood, which was chapter 6, 7, and 8. God makes a covenant with Noah and all his descendants, which means you and me as well. He says, "I will make a covenant to never again destroy the earth with a flood." And the sign which God gave for this covenant is the rainbow. And I think we've all seen a rainbow, even here in Zambia. But here in Genesis 9, God makes a covenant that provides this safe space It's safe from God's wrath. God says, I will never punish the earth again in the same way. But it's a safe space in order for his promise for the seed who will become the serpent crusher. It's a safe space for him to be born. Safe space for this promise to work out. But also notice that this covenant God makes with Noah, it's not what started the relationship with Noah. God already had relationship with Noah previously, even before he built the ark. We're told in Genesis 6, verse 9, that Noah walked with God. There was already a relationship. And later on, the covenant came to provide security, safe space. In Genesis 15, which is the passage was read here this morning, we read about another covenant that God makes with Abraham. And we're going to come back to Abraham because we're going to focus more on this later. But I want you to know that Genesis 15 follows Genesis 12. I don't know if you knew that, but Genesis 15 does follow Genesis 12. And it's in Genesis 12 that we see already there's a relationship with Abraham. But the covenant comes later in Genesis 15. The covenant comes to secure the relationship, not to start the relationship. Later on in the book of Exodus, we read how God makes a relationship with the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. But also, I want you to note that that is not where the relationship starts with the people of Israel at Sinai. No, this is a relationship that's already pre-existing. Because God has already delivered them from Egypt. He led them through to the mountain. He's already shown his love for them. In fact, in chapter 2 of Exodus, we read that God responded to the cries of Israel because of the relationship with Abraham. So in fact, the relationship with Israel and the covenant made at Sinai is actually because of a relationship which started way before. Actually started with Abraham and even before that. The next covenant we read of is a covenant that God made with King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This is towards the end of David's life. David has already lived a long life walking with the Lord, a man after God's own heart. He's written many, many psalms already. And by this time, God makes a covenant with him and says, your line will never end. You will always have a descendant who will be king on the throne. This is a covenant. But this is a covenant which secures a pre-existing relationship. In all God's covenants he makes with mankind, we see this pattern working out through the covenant of grace, that God secures relationship through covenant, the relationship which already exists. I want us to turn our attention to Abraham and learn from his story that God confirms his promise through an oath. God confirms his promise through an oath. We've already read in the book of Hebrews, which I'm sure is still open in front of you, Hebrews chapter 6. We've read that when God desired to show more convincingly the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. Now, this is an oath which God made with Abraham. With Abraham. And so in order to understand this oath a little bit more and how it confirms the promise, we need to understand the story of Abraham a little bit. That's why we had Genesis 15 read for us. So you can turn back in your Bibles to Genesis 15 for now, because we're going to just have a look at that chapter and some of the preceding and following chapters. In fact, head to Genesis chapter 12, because I want you to see, actually, in Genesis chapter 12, this is where a relationship begins, or we can actually see a pre-existing relationship with Abraham. Whether it began here, it's not 100% clear. I believe it's even started before this. But we can see in Genesis 12 a pre-existing relationship. Because in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, we can see God making a promise. A promise to Abraham. I'm not going to read all the verses. I just want you to see there that this is where the promise is made to Abraham. And Abraham leaves his home country, the land of Ur, and he heads to a place which God had promised to show him, with this promise carried in his heart that I will make you a blessing to all nations. There is the promise already. But notice in Genesis chapter 15, as you page your Bible through to Genesis 15, verse 1, I want you to notice, this is the passage that was read for us. I want you to notice that Abraham is doubting. The promise has already been given, but Abraham is doubting. Doubting. I wonder if you are doubting. Maybe you've heard the promises of God. Promise to forgive your sins. The promise to welcome you into eternity one day in heaven. It's a promise. Jesus has promised, I will never let you go. Maybe you're doubting. Like Abraham, doubting. God said, I will be your very great reward. And Abraham says, but how can I, who's going to inherit? You keep promising, but I have no children. I have no children. Look at verse 8. Abraham's words. He said, O Lord, how am I to know that I will possess it? How am I to know this? He's doubting. Give me some sort of surety. And this is when God makes a covenant, a very formal covenant with Abraham. This covenant is coming to provide security for Abraham so that Abraham can know that God is serious about keeping his promise, which he already made in chapter 12. A pre-existing promise, a pre-existing relationship. The covenant is now coming to provide assurance and to confirm a promise. Abraham was doubting that he would have children, but God assured him. The covenant is not what starts the relationship. It secures the relationship. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 17. In chapter 17, we'll look more at this next week. In chapter 17, we see God now provides an extra layer of confirmation to Abraham. He gives him a sign, the sign of the covenant. Look at verse 7. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. The covenant is that God will be our God. I will be your God. And your offspring, who you don't even have yet, I will be their God also. Here is a sign of the covenant. The sign of the covenant. And I want you to notice that it's the promise that came first, and the covenant followed the promise. And after the covenant, then God gives a sign to give more assurance of what? Belonging. You belong to me. And it's actually here in Genesis 17 that we get to see a much clearer picture of what God was promising to Abraham and to all his descendants. He is going to be God to Abraham and God to his offspring. God to you. God to me. In Galatians, we read that you and I are Abraham's offspring. If you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. If you are in Christ, you are Abraham's offspring. And God has made a covenant and given a sign that he is your God. He is your God. Because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's offspring. This is so encouraging, isn't it, today? But you know, later on in Genesis 22, God still adds another level of assurance. After giving a promise and a covenant and an oath and a sign. He now gives an oath. He now gives an oath in Genesis 22. You can turn your Bibles there and you can see. God confirms the promise, the covenant and the sign with an oath. And this is the oath that we read about in Hebrews chapter 6. This is the oath. And we read about that oath in verse number, let me page there myself, I believe it is in verse number 16. Verse 16, he says, I have sworn, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withhold your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars and as the sand on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And here's a very, very, very important verse. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Here's an oath which God is making, adding an extra level of assurance. God is confirming the promise. God wants to convince you and me that we belong to Him. That's actually what we learn from Hebrews chapter 6. This oath which God made with Abraham was actually for you. Let's go back to Hebrews, where we started this morning. Hebrews chapter 6. Now that we have a bit of background about this oath and where it is coming from and how it fits into God's progressive revelation, making his covenant of grace more and more clear to us each time. Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 17, I want to repeat that verse which have already been read for us. When God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise. What does he want to show? He wants to show the unchangeable character of his purpose. God wants to show to the heirs of the promise. Who are the heirs? The offspring. That's you and me. God wants to show you and me that his purpose is unchangeable. And therefore he gave an oath to Abraham so long time ago. The oath given to Abraham was for your benefit and my benefit. God is a God who knows the future better than the past, because he is a God who decided in eternity past what he's going to do in the future. And he decided in the future he's going to love you, and you are going to be in Christ, and therefore you are going to be Abraham's offspring. The reason God gives us this oath is to provide us with a strong encouragement. He wants us to have a strong encouragement. I want you to see that in Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we, that's you and I, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement. Strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that has been offered to us, that has been set before us. Do you see that? God wants you to have a strong encouragement. He wants you to know that you belong to him. In John 3 verse 16, the most popular verse in the Bible, I've already mentioned it, I will say it again. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God gave because he loved. In 1 John chapter 4, we read that this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us first. The relationship starts with God loving us even before he sent his son. There is a verse in Revelation chapter 13. Doc reminded me of this verse, and he dealt with this verse also in his doctoral thesis. And it's a wonderful verse. Revelation 13 verse 8. What it actually tells us is that your name and my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the creation of the world. The Lamb's Book of Life is the names of all those in who will have life everlasting, those who belong to God. God wrote your name in his book before he created the world. God wrote your name in the book of life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book. That Lamb is the Lamb who was going to die for you. Before God created the world, God knew who this Lamb will be. He knew it is his son. And he knew your name. And he wrote it in a book. God knew from before he created the world that you belong to him. And now he wants you to know it too. He wants to convince you that you belong to him. That's why he gives us covenant. That's why he gives us signs. That's why he gave an oath. He wants you to know that we belong to him. And it's the crucified Lamb on the cross that gives us that assurance. And when we remember it, when we partake in Holy Communion, it is a reminder of that covenant, that Lamb that was shed, that died. His blood was shed on the cross. The crucified Lamb assures us that we do belong to Jesus and will belong to him forever, because we belong to him before the creation of the world. This is what covenant theology wants us to know. This plan of Jesus dying on the cross, it was not just an extra plan to add on to try and fix mistakes which were made along the way. No, it's part of the plan from before time. And God wants you to have a sure hope, a confident hope. He wants you to be assured of this. In Matthew 26, when Jesus about to have the last supper with his disciples, and he passes the cup onto his disciples, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant. This is my blood." Christ's death on the cross is his declaration to you that God's purpose is unchangeable. It is unchangeable, and it is an eternal plan to adopt you and me. Christ's death on the cross is not what establishes and starts the relationship between you and him. Maybe you thought that when you put your faith in Jesus, that's what started the relationship with God. I want to disappoint you today. It's not. It wasn't your faith. It was God's eternal purpose, God's eternal plan. That's where the relationship started. That's why Christ died on the cross for you. God wants to show you more convincingly of his unchangeable purpose by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to die, impossible for God to lie. We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast. Hold fast. That's something that you and I have got to do. Hold fast. Don't abandon this hope. In fact, as I close, I want us to have a look at verse 11 of chapter 6 of Hebrews, which was read for us. We desire that each of you show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish. Sluggish is the opposite of hardworking. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now that you belong to Jesus, now that you know that Jesus is your God and will be forever, and the relationship that you have with him will be forever as it was in eternity past, you and I have a responsibility to hold fast. We have been given assurance that we belong, but now we need to become. We need to become what God has intended for us to become. We need to live in a way that demonstrates that we belong. And next week, as we look at the signs of the covenant, the signs are going to help us to see, actually, that we have a responsibility to become. That's why the signs were given to us, to remind us that we also have a responsibility. God's plan started a long time ago, but we have a responsibility to become what God has chosen us to be. But for now, let me assure you, you belong to God forever if you're in Christ. Amen.